Welcome back to Tuesday's edition of The Pulse. We now have a story from India concerning the sugar tax.
So one of The Guardian's headlines today is "Bathtub of sugary drinks a year, cancer warning over teenage intake." Cancer research have decided to back the government's plans for sugar tax, saying that it is childhood consumption, that the childhood consumption is equivalent to hundreds of cans a year and is representing an epidemic. So I'm just going to outline some of the facts for you. Cancer research has said that British teenagers drink almost a bathtub full of sugary drinks a year, and they are urging the government to do more to improve children's diets. Apparently, children aged 11 to 18 consumed on average 234 cans of sugar-sweetened soft drinks. This amounts to almost a bathful and is more than double the figure for children between 4 and 10, whose average annual intake is 110 cans, which is shocking. The Food Standards Agency did actually carry out a report and found that there was a drop in the amount of sugar-sweetened soft drinks consumed by children, with a bigger fall in the under-10s than teenagers. But despite this, cancer research are still saying that there is an urgent need to further reduce the amount of children drinking fizzy drinks on a regular basis, and they throw their support behind the government's proposals to introduce a sugar tax. I have a quote here from Alison Cox, the Director of Prevention at Cancer Research UK, who states that the ripple effect of a small tax on sugar drinks is enormous, and it will give soft drinks companies a clear incentive to reduce the amount of sugar in drinks. There is a belief that the UK has an epidemic on its hands and it needs to act pronto. Luckily, Theresa May revealed plans in August to introduce a sugar tax aimed at tackling childhood obesity, tooth decay and type 2 diabetes. So there is hope. David Cameron first introduced the sugar levy in March, and in 2 years there will be a tax on drinks with more than 5 grams of sugar per 100 millilitres, despite the inevitably strong opposition from the drinks industry. Interestingly though, England aren't the first country to attempt such tax. However, there have only actually been a handful of countries who have tried to, these being France, South Africa and Mexico. So I'm just going to open this up to you guys now. What's your view on this? Do you think that we should implement a sugar tax, or do you think it's unnecessary? Do you think that the amount of sugary drinks consumed by children is a problem, or is it not a huge issue and something that children will grow out of eventually?
Well, I think the main kind of points of the article was that they only want a sugar tax, really. They think that's the only way we're going to overcome kind of this problem. And also, you highlighted that there was like drinks companies are kind of like failing to work alongside the government in bringing about this sugar tax. So it's all well and good, I think, that they're claiming that this sugar tax is going to be implemented. However, when is it going to be implemented? There isn't actually any kind of like time scale on it. So I think there's probably quite a lot of work to do before there's any kind of like initiative to kind of like get it going kind of thing.
Yeah, and also with like taxing stuff, with like tax on the alcohol, like hiring things and cigarettes, it doesn't normally result in a lowering of it necessarily, you know, with these kind of campaigns to lower everything. And I think more should be done to target, to show how bad fizzy drinks are for young people.
I agree.
Rather than just kind of putting in this tax, people are like, oh, that's more expensive, and then keep buying it anyway, because I'm sure people will.
I think if people want it enough, sugar is an addiction, isn't it? Like, as if people want it enough, they're going to pay the extra to get it. And also, I think that drinks companies will start looking at how they can reduce the amount of sugar in their drinks, make them taste as good. I don't think that drinking 5 cans of Diet Coke is actually that much better for you than drinking 5 cans of normal Coke. But Diet Coke hasn't got sugar in, has it? Or has it?
It's got less sugar in it, or to some extent, but it's in fact
just as like bad
claiming
for you,
claiming to be better for you because it's Diet Coke, it's got less sugar in it. However, it's been
full of additives
to take away the sugar, like been through like a load of processes to alter it, to change it, and that's worse for you.
All the colorings and stuff. So all these companies will be like, oh, we just need to make it taste good but have less actual white sugar in it, but it's gonna have those other things that,
so to it's like gonna replace them.
People will start drinking those until in 5 years time
they say and there's another company really like, actually this isn't good for you.
They need to just have more like raise awareness and how like from an early age, like from with young children, that how bad sugar is for you and how important it is to look after what you're drinking and eating from a young age because of cancer and everything else and obesity and type 2 diabetes. Because I don't think that children will really be able to see it, because I guarantee if you're drinking, like the average child, who say they drink like 4 fizzy drinks a day, they're probably doing lots of sports. They're probably not really they probably haven't got obesity yet or anything, so these problems will just won't represent themselves until
be like prevalent.
Yeah, I think the most important thing is to definitely to start, rather than doing any kind of raising taxing on sugar, because as you said, that's not going to stop people from buying it, as we can we can see that with cigarettes, we can see that with like lots of things, but is to really bring out the awareness. And I think in parenting, in parents of young children and new parents, young parents, to make them really aware of how like dangerous it can be and the impact it can have on your health later on in life, of their children. But really to, I mean, perhaps to like set up courses for like people who've got like younger children, or they are pregnant and they've got, they're starting a family, to have like dietary what's the word when you have to go to it?
Dietitian, nutritionist.
No, compulsory. Sorry, the word's compulsory. compulsory, like diet consultations, like just with all like young, new parents, just so that they are like drilled into and like fully aware of the consequences and the like risks of fizzy drinks if they are this dangerous. And we can obviously see from statistics that they are.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with like the fact of targeting parents, because with children I think they're seeing too many adverts of like fizzy drinks and they're seen as kind of like fun. There's like a jingle and everything, and then they're kind of, oh, I really want that,
like a mascot.
So they should definitely, I think, reduce the kind of advertisement on fizzy drinks, and then, as you said, target parents, because parents will be the ones who's going to make the change. The children won't be like, actually, do you know what's bad for me? I won't drink.
Yeah, they won't see. Know. They won't see that. They won't see how they're affected. They won't notice that their concentration is whatever change. No. They're getting obese, whatever it is. They won't notice that until almost like it's too late. But I do feel like in the health industry today, that is, it's either one way or the other. It's either It seems like it's very much. It seems like people of like higher class and more money are much more aware of. You know, like
organic
all that. And then so there's sort of this. There's no middle ground. There's literally either these sort of fish finger, Coke drinking, chicken nugget eating.
Yeah, because they're
people,
all the cheaper food.
Or there's like this sort of ridiculous, like only organic, no fizzy drinks. Whereas
super expensive food. That's 100% what also needs to be addressed in supermarkets. They can't be. Like fruit is an expensive thing to buy. Fruit and vegetable, like vegetables, they add up like to far more than, oh, I'll just like get some freezer peas or freezer like chicken nuggets or whatever for their kids. And it's something that, if it is so important, I think like supermarkets and producers, they need to be looking at how important, obviously, health is. They need to be looking at how important that it's going, like prices, to a lot of people. And a lot of people, they're coming up, I don't know whether it's an excuse, but they're saying that just fruit and vegetables are too expensive for their budgets. Organic food is too expensive, and so that's what they have to like resort to, kind of this unhealthy.
But kids need to be aware that like that it's okay for them to have like a fizzy drink on a Friday after school, whatever, but just not like the amount. Do you know what I mean? There needs to be some sort of middle ground.
Yeah, exactly.
And not this kind of judgmental
feeling
of like, oh, can you believe they're feeding their children this?
Exactly.
And like, look at them. And it's not shouldn't be about that.
No.
A lot of it is like a class problem, I feel like, because a lot of working class families really can't afford all of the expensive vegetables.
They don't even have time to cook in the evening.
No,
they just chuck whatever they can.
That's not their priority. Their priority is not giving their kids the best diet, because they've got 100 other things they've got to pay for, and it's not like. The way they can save money is just giving their kids chicken nuggets. They're still going to be alive. They're still going to be working. So
Exactly. Most of the families, working class families, have full time jobs, and they can't really afford or have the time to cook a freshly prepared meal or anything.
But I think like there's kind of this idea that eating organically is super expensive, but I don't think necessarily. As some vegetables are very cheap if you know which ones to get, like I don't know, aubergines or something. But there is a way, aubergines, let's say. No, but I'm just saying there is a way to eat healthily without. You know, buying like insane, like
without it being
like that. You see the recipes online, like really ultra expensive. Organic, and it's like you have to buy this kind of rice, and you're like, oh my god, this is so expensive.
Looking for that.
Yeah,
and falafel and kale salads,
definitely
£5 for like a gram.
He's like, I think there needs to be like this, get away from this idea that only rich people can eat well, because you can buy stuff cheaply, but it's just seem as much more. everything else seems much cheaper, the kind of frozen food.
Do you feel there's like kind of like a class stigma around healthy foods then, that kind of like working classes can't really access?
Yeah, definitely. With that Jamie's food thing he did like years ago, he like took this kind of working class family around the supermarket and they're like, oh my gosh, we can afford this. He's like, yeah, well, yeah, it's not actually that expensive.
What was that one?
Sorry, that was... but yeah, they were just really surprised they could afford it on their budget, their weekly budget, to eat really well. Mm. They just assumed that, no, that food's not for me. So I think you need to get away from that idea of I can't eat healthy food, that kind of thing.
A lot of it comes back to the power of advertising as well, because like you've got like adverts like Iceland or something all like aimed at working class mums, whereas you have an advert for something like Waitrose or something that is literally middle class families it's aimed at. So
love Waitrose.
It does, it really influences people.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah.